One, two.
Yeah, there you go. It is always a great privilege to be with you and to see many faces that I've journeyed with, some at a distance for over so many years. So I've lost the beard and I've lost about 5 kilos. That bicycle that Dr. Stewart gave me is proving to have some effect on my waistline and my legs. The funny thing is, I can go for a long time on the bicycle and then I'll get off and I can't walk anymore. All the legs have just gone to jelly. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. That was a very sweet time in God's presence. Really appreciated that. So this morning I'm going to just share a little bit of a teaching and pray that God will bless you in it all. So take the hand of your neighbor if you've got one. Let's just pray. Father, we just, oh Lord, we do stand amazed, Lord, that you, our creator, would come and be intimate with us today. Lord, we ask that you would open up our hearts this day to put down our defences, to let go of our shame, to let go, Lord, of our concerns, and Lord, to let you minister to us. Lord, we know that your love towards us was so great that you sent Jesus to die for our sins. So how much more will you give us all things in Christ Jesus? Amen. So I've got a slide up here, I think. Nice big screen. Look at that. The stones will cry out. This is from the scene when Jesus is coming into Jerusalem just on the eve of the Passover, just before crucifixion. And of course, a lot of the popular crowd have come out and they're crying out, Hosanna! 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 Blessed be who comes in the name of the Lord. And the scribes and the Pharisees said, can you please tell your disciples to shut up? You know, be quiet. And that spirit's still in the world, you know. It's wanting you to be quiet, to shut up, not to speak truth, not to stand up for what you're counted to. That spirit's still there. Keep your disciples, keep the saints quiet. But Jesus said this. He said, no, if my disciples are quiet, then even the very stones will cry out. So I'm going to say to the stones today, you can be quiet because I'm going to cry out. I'm going to say, God, you're my King, you're my Lord, we honor you, we praise you, you are awesome. Hosanna! Blessed be he who comes. We welcome you, Jesus. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Father God. Come, we welcome you. Hosanna! Hosanna. So the stones will cry out. But I've just taken the idea of that it's fascinating to me that over the last few years, some of the archaeological discoveries that have come out of Israel are absolutely crying out about the truth, the veracity, the reliableness of the Bible, the reliable Bible, because of some of these discoveries. And in fact, about 2 months ago, they said that the most spectacular discovery in the Old Testament archaeology was found. And I'd like to share that with you as we get a little bit further into our sermon today. Next slide. So this is the site of a dig by the old wall in the Valley of Kindron. There's not a lot to look at there. But out of that particular dig, they did find something quite remarkable. In the next slide, you'll see what they discovered. It doesn't look much, does it? In fact, it would be very easy to overlook it. So in the 1970s, a guy by the name of Barclay was going through this particular dig, and he had a school excursion come to work on the dig with him. Now, being a professional archaeologist, a whole bunch of school children really is probably not what you want. You know, they're noisy, you know, they take a lot of management, they can break things, etc. And there was a particular kid called Nathan. We probably all know what a Nathan's like. He's just that little bit more intense, a little bit more ADHD, a little bit more on the spectrum. And he was just bugging this archaeologist. So he sent him away to another little room and says, just go in there and sweep it up before we do... just do a little bit more work and photography in there. And he gave the 11-year-old a hammer. What will an 11-year-old boy do with a hammer? There is only one thing he'll do. He went to hitting things with his hammer, including he started to hit the floor with the hammer. And as he hit the floor with the hammer, all of a sudden the floor broke open. And underneath the cave that they thought was deserted, there was another cave. And in that cave, they found this little thing here. Looks like a cigar stub, doesn't it? But what they didn't realize, they're just about to open up one of the greatest finds of the Old Testament. And in this particular thing, it was a silver scroll. That silver took them three years to finally open up the silver scroll. And written on the silver scroll was Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The oldest piece of the Old Testament ever found was Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. And of course, this is probably the remains of an amulet that would have been worn around the headdress of the woman, or maybe around the wrist as well. And of course, if you have good knowledge, you'd understand that Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 6 says, "You shall put the name of your God on your forehead and bind it to your wrists." So someone back there in the 7th century, 8th century BCE, had a silver amulet made that she wore there, probably as an item of beauty. But of course, put God's name there. Every thought that we have, if we put God's name there, then how would that change just about everything? That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Next slide, of course, there's actually what it would look like if it was still in good shape. One back, thanks. The other way, yeah. That's the one there. Would have looked like this. Very ancient Hebrew on this side. And what a terrific promise, isn't it? The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face to shine upon you. In Hebrew, the word face and presence is exactly the same thing. When you're in God's presence, that's the place where you're kept, you're safe, you're loved, you're cherished. It's a fantastic verse. And the part of verse 26 in Numbers there, we don't often quote the full verse. We usually finish it off with, "The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." But the very last verse says, "And Aaron, you are to put your name on them." You know, you're a Christian, aren't you? Yeah? You're a little Christ, aren't you? You bear the name of God wherever you go, for better or for worse. Sometimes God's embarrassed and say, you know, just keep it down. But the plan was is that we would be name bearers of the one true God. And a few years ago, the Reader's Digest ran a story about a man by the name of Arnold Fine. He tells the story of one day he was walking down the street and he found a man who probably didn't have Indonesian pants because there was a wallet on the ground. So he picks up the wallet, opens it up, there's just a few dollars. But as he's going through the wallet, he's trying to find out, you know, if there's some ID, some identification or something, so he could return the wallet to the person. But in the wallet, what he does, he finds there is a beautifully yet sadly worded love letter that ended the romance because of her parents' demands. The last line written by a lady called Hannah, the last line was, "I will always love you, Michael." And it was signed, "Yours, Hannah." So this man tried to find the owner of the wallet. So using Hannah's address, which was still legible on the letter, he finally retrieved a telephone number and rang up the number and found out, of course, that Hannah and her family had long moved on. But the person on the other end of the line knew where Hannah's mother was living. So she went to the aged care place where Hannah's mother was, but was now deceased. And they gave him the address and the telephone number for the next of kin, which was Hannah, that they had on file. So he called that number and he found out that also Hannah herself was living in a nursing home. And so he went to the home and was asked to see, is there a Hannah there that he could visit? And of course, there was. So the director met him and took him to Hannah's room. She was watching television on the third floor. And so the man took out the letter and introduced himself to Hannah and explained to him how he'd found this letter in a wallet. He showed her the letter and asked if she was the one who'd written it. Hannah said, yes, I sent this letter to Michael because I was only 16 and my mother wouldn't let me see anyone at that age. He was very handsome, you know, like Sean Connery. And Andrew could still see the twinkle in her eye and the joy in her face that spoke of her love for Michael. Yes, his name was Michael Goldstein. And if you find him, tell him that I think of him often and I've never married anyone. No one has ever matched up to Michael, she declared, and she discreetly had a few tears coming down her face. So as Andrew was leaving the home, quite touched by finding Hannah, the security guard at the door asked him the reason for the visit. And he says, well, I found this letter. The letter was written by Hannah. You know, it was written to this man called Michael Goldstein, who's probably the owner of the wallet. And the security guard says, Michael Goldstein? We've got a Michael Goldstein living on the 8th floor. So, could it be? Could it be? So they went up to the 8th floor and they found Michael Goldstein and they said to him, have you lost your wallet? He says, oh yes, I went for a walk the other day and I lost my wallet. And so Andrew handed him the wallet and asked him if it was his, and he said it was, yes, it was his. And he said, look, I'm sorry, but I also read your love letter to Hannah. And he says, oh, Hannah, you know, she was the love of my life. I've never married. I've always waited and hoped that one day I might be able to find her again. And so Andrew said to him, well, would you like to meet Hannah? Because she's just down on the third floor. So they got into the lift, went down to the third floor, and Michael Goldstein walks into the room and there's Hannah sitting down and they see each other. And like two lovebirds, they just reconnected. They recognized each other. And tears were flying, hugs. And about 4 weeks later, they married. And the way they celebrated that union, that long love, is the way that we do at all marriages. Michael Goldstein gave Hannah his name. She was now a Hannah Goldstein. God has come from heaven to pull us into a relationship where he will give us a new name. In Revelations, next slide, thank you, to the church at Pergamum, to the one who overcomes, I'll give a white stone. And upon the white stone, I will give you a new name. Have you found out who you really are yet? You know, it's more than you know, what your dad might have called you or your mum might have called you. It's what God called you before the very foundation of the world. He had a plan for your life. He had a destiny for you to live in. He had a big masterpiece program for you. And all of our life will be figuring out who we are in God. In God. So very powerful. In the BBC series called The Monastery, it records a number of people who are just taken into a Benedictine monastery and exposed to the contemplative life of the monk, where there's a lot of time reflecting, a lot of time in silence, a lot of time reading and singing, you know, some hymns, etc. One of the candidates in that series, you can go to YouTube, his profession was, he's a pornographer. Yeah, not a good thing to be doing. Comes into this place, he starts to be unpacked and whatever. And as he's going through this, the spiritual director, the monk, says, here's your white stone. I want you to just keep it in your pocket. And every time you get into a moment, why don't you just take it out and think, who am I really? What was I really created for? Because what we are created for is to be in a wonderful, living, dynamic relationship with our Creator. So, who thinks that the discovery of the Silver Scroll was pretty spectacular? It was, wasn't it? Well, now I want to introduce you to probably they're calling it the most important archaeological discovery of the last century. I think that's a big claim because the Dead Sea Scrolls were incredibly powerful. But here we're going to go into something that we actually even sang a little bit about this morning. So the next slide. When the children of Israel failed to take the promised land initially, they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness. Then they come back to Kadesh Barnea, to the brook. They needed to cross over to take the promised land. And you get Deuteronomy being read again. You're getting the story of God's people resetting their commitment to be the covenant people of God. And so they come to this place, and they were told to be placed on two mountains. One was Mount Gershom, the other was Mount Ebal. And on these mountains, half the tribes of Israel had to stand there and pronounce blessings. Who likes blessings? Two, three, or four. Who likes blessings? So half the people of God declared blessings over the other half, who had to go over to Mount Ebal, who had to declare the curses over the people of God should they break covenant. So, you know, when we don't keep aligned to God and His plan, our purposes, destruction and curses will come in our lives. It's just, unfortunately, it's the way it works. But you live for God and you get the blessing. So you get this exchange taking place, Mount Ebal. Now, on the top of Mount Ebal, they have found an altar. And in this altar was first excavated in the 80s. And they suspect it may have been an altar built by Joshua or Moses on Mount Ebal. But another archaeologist went back after just recently, and he went through all the rubbish, all the dust, all the dirt that's been left over, and he found this. Next slide, thank you. Again, it's so small. We had this little cigarette stump of the Silver Scroll. Now they found this particular tablet here. It's probably 2.5 centimeters by 2.5 centimeters, just very small. But written on it, in very primitive Hebrew, is this. Cursed, cursed, cursed. Cursed by God Yahweh, you will die. Cursed, cursed, you will surely die. Cursed by Yahweh, cursed, cursed, cursed. The form is a chiastic poetic structure, and it certainly talks about what happens if you don't walk with God. And on the other side, it says this, I accept the blessings. Does anybody want to accept the blessings today? And I don't want the curses. But the curses are due to me if I should break the law, if I should break covenant. They are still due, aren't they? Whether it's an individual or whether it's for us all together. If you break covenant, then this is it. Now, in the ancient world, it's maybe that a little bit in the modern world, a little bit. But in the ancient world, the only time you'd ever write anything down was if it was really important. You know, it was a marriage contract. It was a title for a block of land. It was only written down when it's incredibly important. And so this has been written down. Someone has written down a covenant that if they should break God's law, they're aware of the curses that will come. And this little tablet dates back to about 1100 BCE. And so what's now happened to all Old Testament scholarship? Before, as we went back into the narrative as to when things happened, we got to about King David and not much further beyond King David. You know, we got to like 1 Samuel Kings. Now what we do is that we keep going and we go right into the 7th chapter of Genesis and the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. This stone here could have been written by Joshua. So all the Old Testament scholarship over the last few years that used to say, well, that can't have happened and this can't have happened and for all these sorts of things has been thrown out the window because of the discovery of this little stone. Hey, maybe it really happened. Maybe it really matters when people keep covenant. So all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, is the great promise. We all like the promises, don't we? So I'm going to get you to stand up now, every one of us. If you're able to stand, of course, not everybody's mobile in that way. And I'm going to declare over you the promise of God. Now, the way that the children of Israel did it was that they would have split you down the middle, and we've got one half to do the curses, and we've got the other half to do the blessings. But we're not going to do that here today. We're going to make you all blessed. Is that all right? All blessed. Because here's the thing. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Someone else stood upon a hill and became the curse for us. His name's Jesus. None of us have to live under the curse of God because Jesus took our place. He came to earth and lived as you did and died as you ought to, so that now you can live on earth as he did. You get to be Jesus on earth, living as he did, with his power, his peace, his joy, his wisdom, his knowledge. You get to be a little Christ, a Christian. You get to bear his name because he bore your name on the cross all those years ago. Hallelujah. So let me bless you. If you listen to the voice of God, your God, and heartily obey all his commandments that I command you today, God, your God, will place you on high, high above all the peoples of the world. And all these blessings shall come down on you and spread out beyond you because you have responded to the voice of your God. God's blessings inside the city. God's blessings in the country. God's blessings on your children. Can you say amen? And on the crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, the lambs of your flocks. God's blessings on your bank account and in your bread bowl and on your pantry. God's blessings in your coming in and your going out. God will defeat your enemies who attack you. They may come at you on one road, but they're going to run away on seven roads. God will order a blessing upon your barns. God will order a blessing on your workplaces. He will bless you in the land that the God, your God, is giving you. God will form you into a people that are holy to him, just as he has promised. If you keep the commandments of God, your God, and live in the way that is shown you, all the peoples of the earth will see you living under the name of God and hold you in respectful awe. God will lavish good things on you, your children from the womb, offspring on your fields, crops on your land, the land that God promised your ancestors he will give you. God will throw open the doors of the sky and the heavens will pour out rain on your schedule. He's been doing that good this week. And bless the work that you take in hand. You will lend to nations, but you yourself will not need to take out a mortgage. You will be made the head and not the tail. Who wants to be the seeing end and not the smelly end? It's good. You'll always be top dog, never bottom dog, if you obediently listen and diligently keep the commands of your God that I'm giving you today. Don't swerve an inch to the right or the left from the words that I command you today. It's fascinating that the cursing stone that was found, we just saw, was found at the base of an altar, where blood would have been shed. Blood still takes away curse. It still covers the law. It still covers our failures. No one here today need to be ashamed, need to be guilty, need to be under condemnation, because it was all done by Jesus all those years ago. You know, recently there was a terrible massacre in Texas where a gunman burst into a school. It just seems to be an ongoing tragedy in the American system. And quite a number of children and teachers were unfortunately lost their lives in that incident. But one little girl survived. And she survived because as the gunman was just indiscriminately shooting things, her little friend next to her was shot first. And I don't know where she got the wherewithal, but what she took, what she did was very clever. She took some of the blood. Took some of the blood of a friend who'd innocently died and just applied it to herself and pretended that she'd passed on. And in that moment, the gunman just kept on looking for other people. She was saved because of the blood of another. We are all saved and rescued today because of the blood of another. And his name is Jesus. So live under blessing, my friends. In a world that's going crazy, in a world that's got war and rumors of war, in a COVID-19 pandemic, in all the challenges of the Ukraine and of global climate change and drought in Europe, and where does it stop? It's all in the Bible. It's all predicted. But in this time, let me tell you, you are blessed. Don't live in fear. Live in the blessing of God, because he has done everything he can. And this is where it gets just a little bit ugly. Is that all right? I just get a little bit ugly? Oh. Come on. Can I just tell you the truth? Do you want me to preach? God actually does want to bless you, but he wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. All the goodness of God is meant to come to us and flow through us, so that where you go, the world is a better place. There's more kindness, there's more joy, there's more peace, there's more provision because of what God has done for you. We pass it on, don't we? We pass it on. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are a mighty God, and that, Lord, you do come 2,000 years ago. Lord, you took our place on the cross. You came to earth to do that, in order that we might stay on earth for a season and live like you. Lord, that you would so mediate through us, that we become ambassadors for you. We become your representatives. So, Lord, I thank you for every man, woman, and child. And, Lord, may you absolutely bless them, keep them, make your face radiant to shine upon them, Lord. May your countenance be always towards them, Lord, and grant to them the divine shalom. And that we put your name on everybody here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Aaron, thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Mike Keating, really, for the exalting word. We are blessed in Christ. Amen. We have a hope. We have a future. You know, there's this song that came to my mind as Pastor was sharing, and we're not going to sing it, so don't worry. You know, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And because he lives, all fear is gone. And because I know, he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. So we have hope, and we are not people without hope. And our hope is sure, our hope is steadfast. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us in our